Hey y'all, welcome to Legally Black. It's your girl Cass.
And your girl Simone. And this is a podcast about being black, the law,
black
law,
black again,
black at it again.
Ooh, black at it. I like that.
Welcome to our show today. We have a couple of cool things we're talking about today, but we wanted to start off talking about these things that are going on in America today continuously. And of course, by that, we are meaning the continued executions, essentially, of brown people by police. And we're not even talking about like the 4 mass shootings that happened in the last 3 days.
That's a whole nother story.
We don't need to spend more time talking about terrible white people.
But I do got to say something about it in a little bit. You know I do.
She's going to say something about it. First, we just wanted, I think, to do a bit of a tribute to Adam and Duante Wright for the terrible things that have happened to them and to their families. We say, I'm sorry. I mean, Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago, is out here saying Chicago failed Adam Toledo.
No, Lori. Guess who really failed Adam?
Lori. She goes, there have been incremental changes that the police have seen in the last few years, but it's not been big enough. And I said, bitch, incremental, that is not clearly helping anybody.
Lori's so crazy.
She's crazy out here. And I know that people kind of put this onus on mayors to be better, which I think is right, because there's something that has to do with funding, right, and budgets. And that is a government issue. Yeah. So at the end of the day, I think it is a government problem. It's going to just become more and more of a government problem because of the infrastructure that will be destroyed by people protesting, which, honestly, burn it all down, babe.
My thing with Lori is, like, how dare you, first of all, how dare you blame Chicago? And, like, I don't know the context. I don't know if she was blaming, like,
she was just saying Chicago failed him. Like, the city should be doing more. The police should be better.
Police should be doing more? No.
And out here with, like, they lied about the body cam footage.
Exactly.
It came out.
Lori, like, and that's my thing. Like, Lori, that is what you have something to do with that. Like, this isn't the first time she's fucked up some footage being released. Like,
right.
Went in that lady house with the warrant. Remember
yes.
that?
Mm-hmm.
She was tweaking on that shit. And she was like, we should have been released it. And it's like, Lori.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's a prosecuting issue.
Shorty's not getting reelected.
They know.
That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, no, she's not. And hopefully they get a lady like Tishara Jones. Here in St. Louis. Hopefully she can do something.
Yeah, for us. So too. So my brother called me yesterday. He was like, They call Lori cheating.
No.
Obviously, it was a lie.
Yeah.
Black Twitter created a lie.
Twitter created a lie. Oh, no.
But they said, you know, how her wife is a white lady, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
They said that they called Lori cheating, like, a hotel. And then, like, her children was involved. Her children called the police. Some wild shit. And I'm like, and the children's like, my mom was fighting.
Some wild black Twitter shit. But honestly, she deserves it.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad for her.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah. And then, of course, that is more Adam Toledo related. But for the Duante Wright people, I mean, Minneapolis is really going wild out here. The George Floyd, Derek Chauvin case is coming to a close today, I think. It's Monday.
Yep, closing arguments today.
And hold out, guys. We will have an episode about the trial. We want it to all wrap up, and then we'll be able to do a little more information for you guys, kind of breakdown. There are some great people on TikTok, I think, who've been doing videos.
Ugh.
But I don't know how TikTok works, so.
I also.
Maybe I'll try to find them.
It can only be like 30 seconds, right?
Yeah, they've been doing like breakdowns of like the witnesses and like who was doing what. Because now, I mean, it's all public. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I just kind of feel like, especially with the Duante Wright shooting, saying it was a taser, missing,
that
like
bitch.
Being negligent.
Bitch, stop playing with me.
it just is, it's like, that is one thing people are always like, okay, well, like, this person, like, clearly we need more training. And it's like, this person was a seasoned officer. It's not a training issue. It clearly is.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what it is, but it's just straight up doing your job poorly.
And you know what? You know, I'm kind of scared that she won't get convicted, only because this is basically the same thing that happened to Oscar Grant.
Well, this is manslaughter.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know, you know, like, literally, the same thing happened where he was, he was laying on his stomach, and they pulled out the taser.
Yeah.
And supposedly tried to pull out, supposedly tried to pull out the taser. And I believe, like, it was like, oh, it was a mistaken but honest belief.
Yeah.
And he got off.
Right.
And it was just like...
Yeah, I mean, we just kind of have to... I don't understand why there's so many people who think that running away from the police and having an outstanding warrant means that you deserve to be shot, right? Like, if they have your car and they have your license plate and now they know what you look like because they saw you and pulled you over, then you don't have to shoot that person. They will make it bad. Like, they will get arrested. Because that is your job as a police officer, is to detain someone in order for them to then stand trial for a crime.
Yeah. I mean, I think the bigger, at least for me, the bigger issue is that, like, we shouldn't be treating traffic stops as, like, a crime, like, crime stopper thing. It's like, all right, I'm speeding. Tell me. Give me a ticket. All right, let me go. My lights are out. Let me know. Warning. Whatever you do. Not, oh, I'm trying to see if you're a criminal. Like, that's not what it should be treated as.
But I also think, like, there was a video of, like, a press conference where the press was like, okay, you know we're in a pandemic. You know that there's delays on people getting tags for their cars, getting their stuff fixed, having enough money to fix these issues. Has no one instructed the police, like, don't pull people over for these routine traffic issues when just, like, write down the license plate. I know you can send someone a ticket in the mail. They do that if you run through a red light that has a camera.
Yeah.
It's not that complicated. The fact that police are still pulling people over and it turns into a shooting, a death of a human being for, like, a routine, it just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't, it's not reasonable.
I just, at this point, it's like, why do they have guns? Honestly.
I mean, exactly. And, well, Cass, because the bad people have
guns. Y'all can't stop these mass shootings, apparently, so I'm confused on why.
Here we are. Everybody has guns. We have more guns than people. And meanwhile, everyone is less safe, I would argue, than everyone thinks they're getting more safe with more guns. It's a logic that makes zero sense to me. I would like to bring in, because I love talking about how terrible of a job President Biden is doing at all times.
My gosh.
Because for all of Uncle you people Joe? Out there... We didn't do anything, Joe.
We did it, Joe.
Oh, wait.
I mean, they did do it.
I guess we did it. They didn't do shit. President Biden has spoken out, said that the death of Duante Wright was tragic, and in the same breath is warning people not to loot or cause violence, which is so crazy to me because this is a response to violence. The police are causing violence. Yeah. The National Guard is causing violence. Like, this is not, and I do think it's really interesting because he also mentions the Black community and the pain and the anger and the trauma. And I'm like, baby, at this point, this is the whole community. There are white people being arrested and being in there. Like, this is it's not policing, just a Black community issue.
Yeah.
And so the more that you get this idea, oh, it's just the Black community. Oh, it's just a trauma from the Black community. That's wrong.
No, yeah. You know what? And that's why I was talking to someone about it. And it's like, I think with, as far as the Adam Toledo thing, it was very tragic, but I think it taught Chicagoans a lot because when all the George Floyd stuff in Little Village, that's where he was killed at, they were being extremely racist towards Black people in Little Village.
Yeah.
Like, don't come here. And granted, I get it, they didn't want their property destroyed, but it's like, come on. And so now seeing this, and, like, even people who I went to school with, like, Latinos I went to school with, like, now they're speaking up. And, like, I was, like, a little offended at first. I'm like...
Where you been?
Yeah, where you been at? But it's like, you know, you see that this isn't just a Black issue. This is a police are terrible issue.
Yeah. Like, and I feel like one big example of this is kind of, like, the way that Portland has responded. Because Portland, to me, historically, it's white as hell.
Yes.
Oregon is white as hell. And, like, I love Portland for the food scene and the funky art and whatever. But, like, it is a place where it is very white.
Yeah. the white liberals.
Well, they do, but they also, I mean, there's plenty of crazy people in Oregon who are not the...
Yes, the...
But, like, they're out here saying this is not a Black issue.
Yeah.
It is an American issue.
Yes.
So, I don't know. I think that's really important. I think these protests and with the movement, it's kind of like a lot of activism happened over the summer that is sort of, you know, slowing down. It's kind of pocketed now. There's Minneapolis, there's places. Portland is still out here raging. Yeah. You know, Oakland protests. A lot of people I know are out there. And it was a big thing this summer.
Yeah.
But I do feel like it's important to point out the performative activism that happened this summer. Ooh. That I just kind of want to get on my soapbox a little bit here for the people who were out here buying, you know, anti-racism books from like small Black-owned bookstores who like never came to pick them up. And the people who were out here celebrating Black artists and buying things from them, and now they don't anymore. You know, there was so much of like highlighting Black artists, for me at least, in the pages that I follow on Instagram, jewelry and food and art. And now it's kind of like fallen off of the support. And I'm not saying only support Black artists, obviously, but just be consistent, I guess, is all I'm going to say in what you're doing. Read the book, have a conversation with your white friend. And maybe if you have a friend of color out there who wants to do the work and talk with you, then have a conversation with them. But I'm just hoping we can all keep up the momentum and the energy, because that's, you know, what's going to change things. And honestly, I'm interested to see what's going to happen with the Derek Chauvin case, because I feel like if he's not convicted, Minneapolis will cease to exist.
I agree.
A couple of neighborhoods will be razed to the ground. And I'm not saying that as like someone who wants that to happen necessarily, but honestly, like, actions have consequences, maybe. And this is what's going to happen, maybe.
You would think, to me, this is like an ironclad case. So I'm just hoping that this all white, and I think it's one Black lady on the jury now, I think. But anyways, all white jury makes the right decision that we all know is really better for everyone. Even just like, if you don't think he's guilty, fuck, do some jury nullification type shit.
Exactly.
And just, like, you know what? This is the best decision for society right now.
Just say he's guilty.
It's kind of like OJ, the opposite of OJ, you know? Oh, white people, think about it like that.
This is OJ for white people.
Yeah, like, but the opposite.
We need to convict.
Yeah.
The glove fits.
Yeah.
So you must convict.
Right. Think about how y'all felt for OJ.
And honestly, I don't need to go down an OJ rabbit hole, but
I've got some OJ
interesting theories about that case.
Do you?
Yeah, a lot of people think it was his son, because his son had a lot of anger issues and was a chef who had a lot of knives. Anyway, it's a whole back. There's a whole backstory to like him protect. They think it was him protecting his son.
Oh,
because his son had problems with his wife. His son.
How old was his son?
He was in his like late 20s. Oh. He had like mental issues. Like he had anger issues. And then there was always the planted evidence, obviously, that the cops is like the one glove was like all the way over there and the things, and things were moved around the crime scene. So there's like a lot.
Oh, interesting.
But if you follow the evidence of potentially it being his son,
it adds up.
It adds up.
Also adds up to OJ.
Well, that's what I mean. Is that's the point, is that it was like they needed to make sure that it was him.
Yeah.
Because like, he got off.
That's so hilarious. Anyways. Okay.
Moving on. So we thought that maybe it would be interesting to do a case that kind of has nothing to do with any of this. We wanted to talk about a copyright case that's a little light, but also I think kind of interesting when it comes to the rules of copyright in Hollywood. This is a case that involves Spike Lee and about the movie Malcolm X. If you haven't seen the movie Malcolm X, I don't know what you're doing with your life.
I don't think I've ever seen it, but hear me out. Even not seeing it, I am...
She's out here like one of Malcolm X's biggest supporters.
Me and him, we right here.
This movie.
We right here.
It's a great, I mean, Denzel Washington.
I might have seen it, just not recently to be like.
No, well, it came out so long
ago. Yeah.
But so this case involves a guy, Al Muhammad, who was brought on by Denzel Washington for the case Malcolm X, or for the movie, sorry, the case. And Spike Lee was out here, obviously, directing.
Just a note, you guys. So, which is weird, which is why I don't even understand why Spike Lee was...
Well, that's what I thought was so interesting about this case.
Because he didn't own the movie.
He didn't even own the... So, okay. We can... Once we break down the facts, we can kind of explain why it's so weird that Spike Lee was the one being
sued
and why it's important as a plaintiff, if you're going to try to sue someone, make sure you know
who the fuck to sue.
Because he was wrong. Exactly. Yeah. So, Al-Muhammad was brought onto this movie as a consultant, a Muslim consultant, right? So the movie was filmed in New York and it was filmed in Egypt. And he helped translate things. He rewrote parts of the script so that the depiction of Malcolm X converting to Judaism or to Islam was realistic, so that the prayer scenes were realistic, so that the wording made sense.
Yeah.
And so he was out here working with them to help them do this. I think he, another key case thing to learn from this case.
There was never any contract.
Always get a contract. He was flying out to Egypt, flying to New York, just expecting to be reimbursed with nothing to rely on.
Which they petty as hell for not like giving this.
Well, so Spike Lee gave him what? $20,000? $50,000? And then.
Could you imagine how he could pay that?
Well, and then Denzel Washington gave him $100,000 in a check form that he never cashed. But like, bitch, cash that check.
That was too late. It might be too late.
It might be too late at this point, past the 6 months.
Yeah. 22 years later, it might be a little too late. But
So his claim was co-authorship.
Which is also weird.
It's wild.
Like, could you imagine? You like, oh, bitch, I helped you a little bit.
Yeah. He thought that in writing the script and helping out, he should get co-author status, which, back to what Cass was saying, is so funny because Spike Lee isn't even the author.
No.
Technically.
No.
As the way that the court, like...
So, just little FYI, in copyright, you can do a work made for hire. And so that's essentially what, like, Warner Brothers, I believe it was Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
They essentially hired Spike Lee to do all of this, but because of that, he's not the one who gets credit for it, technically. It's still just Warner Brothers project.
Exactly. And the court, I found this case interesting because I liked how the court kind of went through the historical definitions of what an author is of a work of art.
Yeah.
Because you can think of like, okay, the person that writes the book, sure, the author.
Mm-hmm.
The painter of a painting is technically the author. But there was a case with like a lithograph where they were putting together old school movie back in the day of an Oscar Wilde work.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a work done by Oscar Wilde, but the court decided that the photographer who took the pictures and then put them together was the author, even though the story was an Oscar Wilde joint. So that, I think, was really interesting to read about. They've kind of said editor, chief cinematographer, but that was kind of back in the day before things like Warner Brothers existed.
Yeah.
So I feel like nowadays you can't really go off of those old school things because production houses like Fox, Warner Brothers, they're all going to have sole authorship.
Yeah.
Unless they give you expressly the joint authorship credit.
Thankfully, people are being smarter now with that shit.
So yes.
It's like, no, bitch.
Right. They're
here's
saying,
my project. I'm keeping ownership.
I am the owner.
And control.
Yes.
Give me the money, bitch.
Right. A black woman superhero who I love
Issa?
Who did this. Oh, I was talking about Michaela Cole.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I love Issa, too.
Because they tried to play her, so she had to go to HBO.
And Netflix tried to play her for I May Destroy You, and they said, we're taking everything. And she said, bitch, I'm going to take my shit to HBO. And HBO said,
you get it all.
You get it all, baby. Here's some residuals. Here is the fucking, you have the rights to this whole shit. And she said, thanks, babe.
Speaking of Netflix, all these tangents, but I love it today.
We're just having a good day.
We are. Actually, I'm having a terrible day. That's what's actually crazy. But anyways, Netflix, they spend way too much money on content in general. When you think about how many Netflix series it is.
There is so much terrible Netflix content out there.
Yeah, like you guys, just like have these powerhouses like Shonda, have a few powerhouses and call it a day. Like, I don't understand what they're doing.
Well, I think because so many of their things, like originally Netflix only had other people's content. And when places like NBC wanted to pull their content because they were going to create their own streaming, Disney pulled their content, they had to step up and create their own content. But I do think it's interesting because, so Disney and NBC had contracts with Netflix for like an extended amount of time. And when Disney Plus was being created and when NBC decided to put together Peacock, they pulled their content, and Netflix still is making like $100 million a year from each place because they broke their contract early. So, I mean, Netflix is smart.
Yeah.
They've got the money, but they need to, it's kind of like Amazon Prime. I feel the same way. There's so much shit on there.
But the thing is with Amazon, like, they can afford to, it's Amazon. Like, they could do.
Well, Netflix at this point.
But I don't think so, though. This is just my brother. He's reading a book. he always tells me this shit, so this is.
He thinks Netflix is broke.
Well, not that Netflix is broke, but, like, they're not a media powerhouse like they want to be.
No, they're
definitely
very
far from it, especially because of just how much money they spend on content. And think about it, they don't charge that fucking much.
No, they don't. And everyone shares their shit.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm never going to pay for
that. And they're like, no, y'all for the style. One TV on this bitch soon.
Oh, my God. If they did that, people would riot.
Oh, I just want to use Netflix.
Well, especially because it's like a family. Yeah, it's like, I don't even, Netflix has a very few things that I go on to.
Yeah, I use Netflix maybe like once a week tops.
There's a couple of things, obviously, like Great British Baking Show.
Yeah,
I can throw that on. But like, otherwise, when I go to Netflix, it's only because they have something that I know is on there that I want to watch. It's not like content that they created.
Exactly.
And there's a couple of things out there, or they'll buy, like, with Arrested Development, right? They decided to make a fourth and fifth season, which personally I hated. But now that's original content, you know, but with characters that were developed without them. Anyway, back to the case, just really briefly to wrap it up. The court came up with a test for how to determine what an author is. And so, you know, it's someone who's exercising control over the project, which I think we can all agree, the mastermind or someone who creates or gives effects to the ideas. Co-authors, it has to be
two or more,
and it has to be like objective and clear from like the get, basically.
Yeah. And all parties have to intend for it to be a co-authorship or joint work.
Right. And that's important. They bring up like Gilbert and Sullivan, right? Where it's kind of like you have these two people who clearly one does the music, one does the script, and you've got yourself a joint work. I actually thought there was a fun story about Rent. I know for all of my cast does not care about this, but there are people I know who enjoy Broadway. And so I just thought the court did a really interesting thing here. They talk about Thompson versus Larson, which is a case where an off-Broadway playwright is coming up with a play that's a modern version of La Boheme, which is Rent. And throughout the entire creation, he was adamant about being the sole author. And he hired a drama professor to be kind of the dramaturgical assistant and research person, and agreed to credit her as the dramaturg, but not an author.
I don't even know what words you're using.
Right? Okay, but some people do.
What the fuck?
Anyway, but there is nothing about like joint work or copyright or anything. So the playwright died immediately after the final dress rehearsal, before the play became Rent, this huge Broadway hit that is, I mean, there's movies and it's touring and it's a whole thing, right? And the dramaturg sued his estate because she wanted to say that it was a joint work because she worked so hard to help put it together. And I mean, she lost, obviously, because there was no authority. There was no one said, you're the co-author. And there was no contract or anything. So I think like that's just kind of what we were saying before. Get a contract. Make sure that the intent is there because you're not going to win without it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Own it. Okay. Always sign a contract, team.
Yeah.
That wasn't even the lesson of the case.
That wasn't even the lesson of the case, but that's our lesson. Also, make sure that you have the right venue. This is a... that was the issue. That was an issue in the case with the other things.
Like, yeah.
You need to make sure that your case is using the right law. And I know that that might not make sense to people who are not in the law. It's a civil procedure issue. It's basically a bunch of boxes you have to check to make sure that your case can't be thrown out before the court can even hear it. And one of the really important things is venue. Where did the thing happen? What is the injury? And which law are you going to use? And in this case, he was saying that New York law was what presided because of the fact that they filmed in New York. And Warner Brothers, I mean, Lee and Warner, you know, was able to say, no, no, it's California because this is where we operate.
Yeah.
And California law obviously kind of goes, it's going to be stronger for the creative house and not the person suing, which is because Hollywood is there. I mean, it's because of the amount of cases that have existed that kind of try to get power.
But guess what? He probably would have lost in any jurisdiction.
He did win, I think, some money.
Did he?
Yeah, because it was...
He still had a copyrightable contribution.
That was kind of the point, is they were like, it's clear that he did a lot of work for you and you didn't give him money. So I think it was remanded back to the lower, just a couple of in part, the copyright issue was dismissed.
Okay. Yeah.
And then the issue that he also, there were like four counts and two of the counts were remanded, which means that the higher court said back to the lower court.
Figure this shit out.
I think this is wrong. Do it again.
Yeah.
Give this man his coins.
Yeah.
Because he did a lot of work.
He did do a lot of work. He was out here. Still signed a contract.
Still. Get that shit in writing, baby.
But he was out here going crazy.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Well.
I love a good Spike Lee joint.
A Spike Lee joint. That's clearly it's not even his. It's a Warner Brothers joint.
But yeah. Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, guys, well, that's our case. We just thought it'd be fun to do something that maybe people could relate to.
Fun and light.
A little more light. I don't know if Cass wanted to take it away with her thing about the mass shooting. Bring us back down.
Right. Hold on. Real quick, y'all, before we do our songs of the week. Real quick. These mass shootings. I think since May, like the middle of May, it's been, 47?
No, I think we've had over 100 this year.
It's crazy. It's like, vaccine's out. Let's get back to it. I think that's so crazy.
Well, that's what was so crazy about this past year is the number of shootings went down so much because people weren't in school.
Yeah.
Here are parents like, get these children back in school. And you're like, baby, they're way safer inside your house.
No, these people. I just look at white men. I'm like, oh my Lord.
Ooh. Every time I walk, I
never can't go to Walmart ever again.
No, I can't go in there.
Yeah. No,
I'm not trying to go anywhere where there. I mean, even the grocery store, I'm like, No, at least cool. Whole Foods, I feel like people are okay there.
You would think.
I mean, they're crazy, but in a different way.
I mean, I don't know where to go. I'm shopping only where black people is at.
Yeah. Or like get it online and just.
If you white, you really go, you know.
Yeah. Can't go to a movie theater anymore.
Oh, no.
Can't go to anywhere.
Clubs, I mean, literally.
No. Oh, my God. Clubs, certainly not.
God. I just.
It's crazy, guys. And I know we are so desensitized to it. And I know we're preaching to the choir. The people listening to this are not going to be out here like, no, it's not. It's totally normal. But like, it's crazy how many people are killed by terrible white people. Mass shooters. And every time it's like, oh, this is an isolated incident. Bitch, if someone did a study, there's pattern. I mean, the pattern is white supremacy, the patriarchy. Incels. Incels are out here.
Incels. Also.
And guns, obviously.
To my group of women, I'm kidding, but this is a joke that I think about. But somebody should take the L and fuck with these incels. So they don't feel like
someone
incels.
Someone please just have sex with them. No,
I'm kidding.
We are obviously kidding. They do not deserve.
Maybe not.
Broke boys don't deserve no pussy,
like,
right?
You guys. Never mind. I'm not going to start saying crazy things. But it's like,
look,
there's other ways to get
Yeah, right.
pussy, y'all.
There's some, but they also probably hate sex work.
Oh, yeah.
Is a whole other issue. Like, baby, they're here for you.
Yeah.
I mean, don't, like, hurt them, but that's what they're here for. It's a job. It is work. It is.
Yeah, like.
But, like, I feel like I don't want sex workers to have to deal with them either. That's what that's the point is like, no, they shouldn't have to put up with these crazy asses either. I don't know. I'm just out here really ready to leave this country and claim refugee status somewhere else.
No, for
I feel
sure.
like as a black woman, I would be able to put together a really good explanation as to why I should be allowed to leave America, become a citizen in another place. And it is because I am like running from systemic racial violence. Systemic sexual violence.
Yes.
And it is because the ruling class has decided that we are not worth, I don't even know what.
Speaking of what Simone's saying, my final paper for one of my classes is basically me saying how things that have happened to black people really count as crimes against humanity and under
genocide. Or are you just saying crime? Yeah, genocide.
No, genocide, sexual violence.
Right.
And under like the Geneva Convention and all these international.
Well, the Geneva, I mean, what is crazy is the international community thinks that America is crazy. I mean, they do studies on poverty here. They do studies on violence, racial, sexual, and we are at the top, like, at the top of the list. Because obviously, population-wise, it's easier to say, like, there's so much. There's so many examples.
Yeah.
Continue, sorry.
But anyway, so hopefully, an episode. I'll be able to talk about that once I finish that paper.
But yeah, we should have an episode about our papers.
Yeah.
I like my paper topic, too.
Yeah.
I could do it. It's
yeah.
relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be fun. Oh, okay. Right, we'll do that next time. Get ready. It'll have to be in a couple of weeks when we finish the papers.
But yeah. Anyways, I guess for me with these whole mass shootings, like, the fact that white men think that they can react to whatever quote-unquote sadness they think they have in their lives or issue with violence, just like, it's just like, you could tell that white man, one, you guys, stop telling these mediocre white men that everything they do is great.
Seriously, like, stop it.
Please, like, I, literally yesterday I was listening to these white dudes perform at an open mic, and I'm like, this is what happens when your parents tell you you are good at everything. This is what happens.
This is like when people suggest podcasts for me to listen to, and I look it up, and everyone on it is a man, a white man.
Why?
I don't listen.
Why?
Because I don't want to hear you. I hear you all day.
Yeah.
I don't need it.
So I hear you all day. My life is listening.
This is supposed to be my downtime.
But yeah, that's what happens. And it's like, America's told you that your shit is gold. Everything you do is gold. And
then meanwhile, it is worse
yeah.
than what other people are putting out there.
Way worse. And when the real world start treating you like that, you don't know how to react. When bitches don't want you, you don't know how to react.
Right. Maybe you should, I don't know, take a shower, get a haircut, and go to the gym.
Y'all be weird. Like, little thing you could fix. Like, stop being so fucking ugly and weird. Like, like, and you sorry, can still be ugly. Like, you can get a haircut.
There are plenty of ugly people out here who are married, who have babies.
Who gets bitches.
Right.
It's like, get a decent haircut. Take those weird-ass glasses that don't match your face.
Maybe, like, read a book or two.
Read a book.
Have something to talk about with people besides maybe, like, Nietzsche. Some stupid
take philosophy. Take a shower. Use Proactive.
There are things out there, resources out there for you. So stop, like, making us put up with your shit. That's kind of the thing, is it's an entitlement complex.
It is. It really is.
It is saying, I am able to go out and shoot these people because I'm mad and angry. That doesn't... That would never the fact be
that to react like that is wild.
It's crazy. You need to go take some yoga classes, maybe like meditate, go to Taekwondo or something. I don't know. Channel that shit. Stop going online.
Maybe become a musician.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wouldn't listen, but
someone would. I don't know. Write a song. Write a poem.
Something.
Just like maybe don't go out and shoot people.
Ugh.
Mm-mm.
People so crazy.
They're so crazy. So actually, as we move into the segment of songs and recipes, I had a request from one of our listeners, which was to see if you, Cass, would put together a playlist on Spotify or something that we could make shareable of your songs of the week that you just like add to every week.
Oh, that's cute. Y'all so, ooh. Oh, I love it. Yeah. Listener, I like that. Y'all got the ideas. Thank you, person. Thank you. Of course. That's easy money.
Yeah, I think that'd be a great time, and I think it would be a good way to connect with people. So we will be putting that out there. Just look for it. We'll talk about it on the next thing, and maybe we'll do a link on our Instagram or something. If you aren't following our Instagram, do it. It's at legallyblack21 on Insta, pretty sure. That's also our Gmail. If you have any questions, comments, you just want to say like, hey, I love you guys. I'd love to hear that because I love when people gas me up. All right.
Gas her up.
Songs?
Songs of the week. All right. So my songs of the week got a little theme to it.
Oh, got a like theme.
Like anti-police.
Ooh, you know, fuck 12, she said.
You know, fuck 12 going on. You know, little ACAB going
on. She said ACAB.
These are like all songs that like, I don't know, they like resonate with me whenever there's like, you know, these times. And so I'll just jump right into it. So I really recommend you guys listen to these songs. If you had to listen to any set of songs of the week, please listen to these. So my one song, oh, and they're like all like different time periods. Some is like 20 years ago, some is 5, just all over the place. So one song is The Proud by Talib Kweli. And so this song is so interesting because he talks about, who that crazy white dude that blew up something in Oklahoma? Timothy McVeigh.
Timothy McVeigh.
He talks about like, I think it was after he got convicted.
Oklahoma City Bomb, yeah.
That crazy ass man. He talks about that. He talks about 9/11. He talks about policing in black communities. And so like each verse kind of talks about one of those things. So just super good. My next song is, I'm sure you guys might know this, but The Bigger Picture by Lil Baby. I think it came out last summer.
Right, yeah.
In response to the George Floyd shit. Great song. Lil Baby's great in general.
Yeah,
that's true. Love me some Lil Baby. Next song, 16 Shots by Vic Mensa.
This song is very Chicago. It's about the Laquan McDonald. Mm-hmm. And basically him saying, I should put 16 shots into you, police officer.
How would you like that?
And I'm not saying to do that to police officers. I'm not saying go rogue. I'm just saying what he was saying, basically. And you know, maybe, you know?
I mean,
yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I've always said we need a few more assassins on the liberal side. But
you think so?
Not of, like general police officers, but I mean, like, someone who will, like, poison Mitch McConnell's coffee or something. I just need, like, you know, it's like a barista here or there. Maybe, like, a congressional clerk just, like, is out here, like, yeah. Mitch, I'm gonna get you. And I would slowly but surely just putting a little antifreeze in there. I'm not saying I could do it because I don't live in D.C. So FBI, if you're listening to me, CIA, whatever, like, I'm not gonna do that because that sounds like a lot of work. But I'm just saying someone could do it.
I mean, people take crazy L's in this life, so
right, and like, take that L. Just take it. There's a couple of people. There's a couple of people that really could do for a little coffee poisoning, and I'd be okay with it. And a couple of people on the Democratic side too. I'm not saying you have to be. Don't split the party line, baby. Just be an equal opportunity assassin.
You already here, Simone. Simone is looking.
Not that I have the money to pay you, but this would be like a forgotten country thing. You know? Like
you heard it here, you guys.
Take one for the team of America.
No, seriously. You guys, I'm not saying I'm pro Nat Turner, but I think about Nat and I'm like, he was going.
He did it.
I'm not, you guys.
Look, like we said, don't mind the these are joint. Not, like, you know, suggestions. Don't be trying to get me up in here if you, like, go to court and you get caught for, you know, and you're like, well, she told me to do it because free speech.
Yeah.
And I've seen enough Law & Order SVU to know that me talking about this and you doing it does not mean that I'm liable. Yeah.
No, but Nat Turner was crazy. He even killed white babies. Yeah. He said, because you're going to grow up and be terrible.
Because you're going to grow up.
I'm like.
Which, I mean, that's logic there.
Hey.
All right.
Anyway, sorry. That always get me going. Always get me on a tangent. Anyways, my next song is Freedom Freestyle by Joe Budden.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard that before?
Uh-huh. And yeah. I know who Joe Budden is. Obviously, because of Love & Hip Hop. But I did a deep dive.
Okay.
Look, I don't have a problem. Like I said, if I know that if a guy is running a podcast that I listen to, it is not going to be my favorite podcast. And I listen to it, but I bop in and out. It's not like a thing I have to put on every week when it comes out.
No, I mean, day. I understand.
But that's me.
Yeah.
I just don't want to hear it. I don't need another man talking
to me. It's funny, though.
It's
funny, man. They be funny. Maul? I don't know what the fuck's going on with this podcast. Anyways, last song is... This isn't even the song. Oh, by the way, for me, I think 16 Shots is going to be my song of the week.
Yeah.
But anyways, or should it be this? My other song is Freedom Time by Miss Lauryn Hill. My queen. Gosh, she is a queen.
Mm-hmm. You know. She has had her queen moments.
For sure.
Let's say.
For
she's
sure.
Been out here.
For sure. Honestly, that song is amazing. Maybe that should be. Can I have two songs of the week?
I mean, this is our podcast. We can do whatever we want.
That's true. I'm black. Do whatever.
You can do whatever you want.
Literally cannot do whatever
I know. There are very few things we can do in life. So this, we will take advantage of doing.
But the thing I can do is have two songs of the week. I can't drive while black, but guess what I can do? Two songs of the week. So Freedom Time by Miss Lauryn Hill and 16 Shots by Vic Mensa.
All right. You heard it here first, folks. Songs of the week. And we will put those up in the show notes and look out for the playlist coming to your earbuds soon.
Simone, what you been cooking for us?
So, actually, this is a salad recipe, so it's not cooked.
My gosh,
salad. Okay, don't, no. This is a great salad. I love to break this out for, like, if I'm meal prepping and I can have it in, like, a big bowl or separate it out into a couple of Tupperwares and then throw some chicken on it, throw some fish on it, throw, like, whatever I want on it.
Okay.
And it's a broccoli salad.
Oh, freaky.
It's a little freaky because it's raw broccoli.
Oh, freakier.
But you cut it, you know, it doesn't have to be, it's not big chunks. Like you see at those like terrible salad bars where you're like, who puts this on their plate? It's like, you know, you want to cut up a broccoli into like nice small pieces. red onions, some red cabbage if you want to do like some thinly sliced red cabbage, kidney beans I love to throw in there.
This bitch can freaking
some
freak you.
Celery, maybe some thinly sliced carrots if you want, dried cranberries, and like little pepitas. So I would suggest pepitas as in like pumpkin seeds. I would suggest putting those and the cranberries on the day you're going to eat it.
Okay.
I even bring them in Tupperware separately and then put it on top before I eat it. Because you don't want it to get soggy because you're going to have the dressing. You dress the salad like overnight because the vinaigrette, which is just your basic balsamic vinegar, Dijon mustard, some salt and pepper, some honey, some olive oil. You want that to marinate all the veggies. It breaks down the cabbage. It breaks down the carrots. It breaks down the broccoli. Yeah. It makes the onions less bitter.
Yeah.
And it kind of brings everything together so that when you take it out the next day, you throw some chicken on there, you put some little pepitas and cranberries, and you've got yourself this like delicious bowl of like healthy, crunchy, yummy, sweet, salty, sour. The kidney beans, I think, make it so you could just eat it as a whole meal without chicken or anything.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll throw some lettuce underneath and throw the rest of the salad on top to just give it a little more body.
Damn,
I don't know.
How much green shit you need in that motherfucker?
But that's what I'm saying. That's all it is it's just veggies. So
do you eat iceberg lettuce?
No.
I was saying, whew, that's tragic. I meant
like just some greens or maybe some arugula.
I just
like,
want to make sure people don't eat iceberg.
No, I mean, unless I'm going to have like a fancy wedge salad, which a couple of places I've been to have like ones with like nice candied bacon and like a homemade blue cheese dressing and then like yum, yum, yum.
Yeah.
But no, I don't just like have iceberg around.
Yeah, no, we shouldn't do that.
No.
You heard it here.
Iceberg, it's out. But yeah, that's my broccoli salad recipe. I don't know, I love it. I think it's great when it becomes summertime and you don't want to cook.
Yeah.
And maybe you just like have, I like to prepare, I'll usually have like a few chicken breasts that I've baked off in my oven that are just ready to throw on anything. Yes, Cass.
Could you write this down for me? Because now that you...
Yeah.
Oh, I already got it written down, y'all.
That's all my notes, baby. You know how I do.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I will. Because it's just great.
It sounds good. Once you... I just thought you had a crunchy ass salad. I was like, damn, this bitch is just the raw vegetables with nothing on it. But now that you let it marinate. That makes more sense.
And if you do a big one, you know, you just leave it in the bowl throughout the week. Yeah. And then you can just kind of scoop out some whenever you want
it. Put whatever top, like whatever meat or...
Whatever you want. Yeah. The beans, you could do kidney, you could do garbanzo, you could throw in some white beans. The beans make it so it's like a meal in itself salad.
Right, right.
And if you don't add the beans, then you can just put whatever chicken, you know, protein on top that helps kind of build it out.
What about, I think black beans.
Sure, I don't know. They'd be a little freaky, but you could do it. The thing is, if you were going to do black beans, then I would change the dressing. You could still do like a vinaigrette, but instead you could maybe do it with like apple cider vinegar instead of balsamic vinegar and maybe some like, I don't know. I mean, if you wanted to get freaky with it, then maybe some sun-dried tomato or like a roasted red bell pepper vinaigrette would be probably really good with that.
Oh,
because you want the vinegar. Cass is looking at me like I'm crazy. But for my foodies out there, you want the vinegar because it breaks down the broccoli.
Right. Yeah, that's what you need. Because I'm not going to, you know, crunchy ass.
No.
Crunch. I can't even talk. Look at me. I can't.
She's so upset by the idea.
I should have seen my face. I'm like, bitch, just broccoli? What? Okay. Yeah. All right. I like this, though. All right.
Yeah.
I say this about every recipe.
I know. And she has yet really to have actually many of the recipes I've made.
I had that soup, I think. That shit was...
Yeah, maybe. One of the soups.
The butter squash.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't even think
that was one I did. But that was like last year. Yeah. Well, I will be making some shredded venison tacos coming up soon, probably next week.
Let me get some.
It might be a recipe on the pod. It's a little more complicated and you have to have venison, which only happens because my sweet little honey bunny likes to shoot deer. Anyway,
guess what he is.
Okay. We don't need to get into all of that. Speaking of guns,
he's a great guy. I have to say he's great.
And I will give him only a shout out. Uses his guns for hunting once a year.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Like, I'm just saying, we're not out yet.
We got to guess. That's all. He's great. No, he's great. I have to say. Yeah.
Okay. So the very last thing we're going to do is our small business shout out as per usual. And this time we're taking it back to St. Louis again. We're going to do a small business that we love to go to
yes.
and support.
Yes. and, you know, sustain our drinking habit.
Right.
I mean, we are
in law school after all. I'm kidding. All, so
Mom, we that was to... a joke. There's no drinking habit. That was a joke.
I'm not kidding, Mom. Look, the semester is over this week.
That's true.
And so I will probably be drinking every day of this week. So,
oh.
Hey, yo. No. Okay. So we are shouting out our favorite little neighborhood bar. It's called Mac.
M-A-C-K apostrophe S.
Because Mac is the owner.
Yes. Great guy.
Sports bar, black owned neighborhood. Every table has like cards and little dice. And it's just a good time, and we love it there, and I'm happy that people are going, and I want to shout it out. But, like, don't everybody in St. Louis, like, go there all
Please
at once.
Please don't.
We shouldn't have done this. Now people are going to... Yeah, right. Like, people in St. Louis are listening to our
right,
podcast.
Like,
But if you ever come to St. Louis for our out-of-towners, check out Max. I think we shouted out Bar Italia before.
We did, yeah.
There's some really great...
I had dinner there yesterday.
Without me?
It was spur of the moment.
It's okay. I thought about texting you, but... Anyway.
Whatever. Should we? Anyway.
We'll go later today, probably. So, Cass just winked at them. They can't see you. So, anyway, thank you guys so much for tuning in this week. Yeah, next episode, we'll be talking about Derek Chauvin's stupid ass and hopefully have some good news to share and spread positivity and love.
That's the positivity.
I know. I'm like, that's exactly what I mean.
Yes.
You know, before we get rid of the jails, we need to be putting the right people in them if we are still going to have jails. Please rate, review, and subscribe. It is how we become good on the lists. And I would love for you to tell your friends about us.
Tell your
Maybe your parents, if they're cool.
To get with my friends.
And then we can be friends.
We could do this every weekend.
Yes. If you're out there and you're like a podcast person, I don't know, talk about us on your podcast.
Yes.
And like,
maybe have us on your podcast.
Ooh, reach out. You know our email. It's right, legallyblack21@gmail.com. Please send us your questions if you have any specific general legal things you need to know. And that's it from us.
Bye, y'all.
Toodles.